If you had the dubious delight in reading the editorial page of the New York Times the other day, the 21st, I believe, there was a massive article. I'm sorry, that was on the 19th. Massive article. Wasn't on either. It was the 18th. By one William Jefferson Clinton. You may recall the name. If you don't, you certainly recall the ego and the impeachment of former president of the United States, number 42 on the hit parade, I believe. And it was remarkably self-serving, not surprising there, terribly misleading, and an attempt to indict individuals who had actually flexed their First Amendment rights to speak and to complain and the redress, demand redress from the government and things along that order, which is typical of demagogues and narcissists such as Mr. Clinton. However, it caught the eye of one James Bovard, friend of mine, prolific author, author of Terrorism and Tyranny, for example, which addressed a number of these subjects, not to mention Attention Deficit Democracy, which is currently hot. And he wrote a piece in Counterpunch, Lethal Hypocrisy, and that caught my eye. So I caught the phone and gave Jim a call and asked him to join us here, and he's on the phone with us right now. Hello, James.
Hey, Brian. How you doing? Thanks for having me on.
I'm well. I'm well. Jim, as you know, is just safely outside of gun range of D.C. city streets. So there we go. I assume you're still outside of gun range in D.C. city streets.
Well, assuming they haven't got better guns.
Well, that's always a possibility. So here comes former President Clinton lecturing us on people that are speaking out strongly and pointedly about this administration and so on. And that apparently has upset Mr. Clinton to the point where he took to his word processor and penned this marvelous piece. To which you took a serious and articulate offense.
Well, it was funny. It was a piece came out Monday, and by unfortunate habit, I happened to glance at the New York Times webpage just before going to bed on Sunday night, and I saw this big headline, "Violence is Unacceptable in a Democracy" by Bill Clinton, and I'm saying, oh my God, I got to wear the hip boots tomorrow. It was bizarre to see Clinton's piety and his demagoguery and the utter sanctimoniousness about government and government power. You would have think that Bill Clinton spent 8 years in office doing an imitation of Gandhi and not doing a lot of the violence, which he actually did, but it was okay because he was the government.
Well, yeah, that's true, and I think that's something that you focused on in the article. I want to focus on here for just a moment. As you point out, Clinton declared that we do not have the right to resort to violence or the threat of violence when we don't get our way, unless, of course, you're the government. And you brought out a couple of points in there about what happened to approximately 4 million Americans during the Clinton reign of terror on individual rights. And people who did such heinous things as possibly take a drag on some marijuana.
Well, yeah, people forget. The war on drugs ramped up greatly during the Clinton administration. Between 1992 and 1997, the number of people arrested for drugs increased almost doubled. 4 million Americans busted for marijuana during Clinton's reign. You know, and Clinton talks about that we don't have the right to resort to violence or the threat of violence. If you've ever been arrested, well, it's either violence or a threat of violence. There's a reason that they put the handcuffs on. There's a reason that you're thrown in the back of the car. And if you give them any guff, then boom, the cops can basically whack you. It's like, well, you were resisting arrest.
Yeah, I don't know that I've ever heard of a. I don't know that I've ever heard of a gentle arrest.
It has happened. There was, you know, something that happens here in the D.C. area. It was very big in the 1980s. There were a lot of protests at the South African embassy. And you'd have all these prominent people, these movie actors or these congressmen. They would head down there and they would line up to be arrested, and the cops would basically give them lollipops.
Ye gods. Well, but it is good to know or remember or be informed that the numbers were impressive. We were talking about just a few hundred here, a few hundred there. As you point out in Lethal Hypocrisy, the IRS got in on the act too, to the tune of something like 12 million bank accounts.
12 million bank accounts seized. The IRS put liens on over 9 million people's homes and land. Directly confiscated over 100,000 people's houses, cars, other real property. slapped 100 million penalties on people for allegedly not paying taxes later, whatever. And during those years, the IRS knew that millions of those penalties and a lot of those seizures were unjustified according to federal law. But the IRS was numbers-driven. There was an audit in 1997 of their Arkansas-Oklahoma district that found that a third of the IRS property seizures violated federal law or IRS regulations. But they were out there trying to intimidate people, so they would, in many cases, overpay their taxes. This was Clinton administration jurisdiction. It was policy under Clinton, and for him to act like this wasn't violence or threat of violence, if the IRS comes into a bank and says, you know, there's a levy and we're taking all this money, it's like, you know, so what's the bank going to do? You know, have a shootout with the IRS? I don't think so.
No, not hardly. But the probably some of the more egregious things that he mentioned in that article, I thought, was his rather casual treatment of the realities that surrounded the. Of course, this whole thing was sparked by the Murrah Building, and that was in response to the events at Waco. And whether or not it's actually true, as Dick Morris alleged on Sean Hannity's show the other night, that Clinton specifically and personally engineered the attack on the Branch Davidians, even though Janet Reno took the credit or the fall or whatever the case. The fact of the matter is, it was on his watch, and as you point out, he was the commander-in-chief, and there certainly wasn't anything gentle about the efforts against the Branch Davidians either.
About, you know, sending in 54-ton tanks, and people forget that these tanks collapsed 25% of that ramshackle building on top of the men, women, and children in that building before the fire commenced that left 80 people dead. And there's still an awful lot of questions about how that fire started. And not only that, but there's the government is still withholding a massive amount of information on Waco as well as on the Oklahoma City bombing.
I guess they haven't found that door yet either. I always wonder what happened to that thing. And of course, all this on Clinton's watch. And how could we forget that magnificent picture of that federal trooper with his little sawed off? I think it was a little Beretta machine gun.
I think it was HK, but I'm not sure.
Was HK? Okay. Yep. Well, you want to give credit where credit is due. Pointed at the head of little alien Gonzalez in that midnight visit or 4 a.m. visit down there in Florida.
Right. This is a federal raid, April 2000, to seize a 6-year-old who had, been fished out of the Atlantic Ocean by a fisherman. Feds come in there very late night, nabbing the boy, busting doors, busting a bed, roughing up Cuban Americans, kicking cameramen in the stomach, stuff like that. But Clinton administration officials rushed out to explain why the raid was practically a demonstration of Gandhi's teaching in action.
Oh, yeah. I like your quote in here from current Attorney General Eric Holder. They were armed agents who went in there who acted very sensitively.
Yes, and just prior to that, Holder asserted that the boy, quote, was not taken at the point of a gun. Okay, I guess it was a few inches between the end of the gun and the boy, but still, this is pretty damn... This is stretching things.
They must have photoshopped that thing. That must have been it. There's no two ways about it. So we've got all these folks thrown in the slammer as victims of the war on casualties in the war on drugs, which certainly messed up their resumes for a pretty good while. You've got a bunch of people dead in Waco at the Branch Davidian compound. You've got the midnight 4 a.m. visit, whatever, to Elian Gonzalez. A bunch of people getting roughed up there. You've got the attempt to whitewash the entire action with a bunch of really incredible quotes. And we haven't even gotten to Iraq or Serbia or Kosovo or any of the swell things. These all coming under the head of the violence that is supposedly unacceptable in a democracy. And hence the hypocrisy in the title of your column.
Yeah, and the thing that was striking about Clinton's article, he was very pious that it's necessary to have law to have freedom, but. Think about Clinton's raining death on Belgrade, his attack on Serbia. Clinton brazenly violated the War Powers Act, 1973 law that requires the president to get authorization from Congress before attacking a place for more than 60 days, Congress would not endorse Clinton's attack on Serbia. It didn't matter. Bill Clinton was president, and he was out there to save the world and maybe even get a Nobel Peace Prize, but he didn't get that. But
no, that's another guy. That was a problem. Clinton actually did something. If you don't do anything, you get the prize. Just to telegraph your intentions ahead. I find it interesting there was this thing where Clinton was quoted as saying there's a big difference between criticizing a policy, a politician, and demonizing the government that guarantees our freedoms and public servants who enforce our laws, as you quoted him in the piece. There's also a great quote from George Washington, that government is not reason, it is not eloquence, government is force. And like fire, it's a dangerous servant and a fearful master. I wonder, does that border on sedition?
I think there's a lot of things that George Washington wrote that might getting put on the do not fly list these days.
Well, I guess the country was so young at the time, they didn't have any opportunity for sedition. Madison. Was it Madison? No, it was... Adams.
John Adams.
John Adams, Alien Sedition Act.
Where they throw in all the writers and editors and other people who didn't kiss John Adams' boots.
Yeah, or some other part. Yeah, I mean, then we had to wait until Lincoln before we got another round of that. So this business it's like the, you know, we're all equal, just some of us are more equal than others. Hang on a second, Jim. I got to grab a Wall Street Journal report here, and we'll have a couple of minutes left in just a minute. Jim Bovard, my guest. Jim, in the couple of minutes we have left here, so you wind up the piece talking about in counterpunching literally Clinton's rather overbroad statements about how wonderful the government is to protect our freedoms, and we shouldn't demonize these marvelous public servants, but when they, as you point out, what happens when they turn into being the ones actually doing the demonizing? What happens when public servants violate citizens' rights and shoot them and taser them and throw them in jail and they don't have warrants and so on? We're only a year and a half into this new administration. Is there any reason to believe that this administration, this government, is going to act any differently than previous ones?
Well, so far Obama's got a dismal record on civil liberties. He's the government is still very secretive. He's made it very clear he's not going to prosecute the people who made the torture policy or the torturers themselves. The Justice Department launched a criminal charges last week against one of the National Security Agency people who had the courage to let other Americans know the government was violating their privacy and the Constitution. So he's off to a terrible start. I mean, he's not as bad as Bush was yet, but he's got a lot of time to go.
But there's no reason to believe that. I mean, this almost appears, I mean, especially if you can go all the way back to George Washington for pithy insights on the nature of government, there's no reason to believe when it comes to protecting our rights that indeed the government is going to be the staunch protectorate that all these guys claim it is, when in fact they are some of the most egregious violators.
Yeah, I mean, the government is the single largest threat to your rights and liberties, and yet Clinton, a lot of other liberals are out there trying to persuade people that the government is the only reason that they're not being beaten and robbed every day. But in so many places in this country, government is a very dangerous peril. You see that a lot in the inner cities, where law enforcement is very poorly controlled sometimes. I mean, I see that very much in this area. Prince George's County Police have got a record of beating and killing innocent people that is just sounds like a third world country, and yet they don't get restrained. It's appalling.
Well, the nature of the leopard's not going to change his spots. I mean, this is something that each individual is going to have to, you know, maintain an awareness of, you know, whether it be the war on drugs, whether it be the IRS, whether it be all these and all of these new regulations and restrictions and laws and requirements. You can step across the line just about anywhere.
Well, there are so many different levels of nonsense you're having to sift through. And like just a day or two ago, I pick up the paper and find out that the Food and Drug Administration is going to become czars of blandness, and that they're going to start dictating that the food has to have a lot less solvent. I've spent some time bicycling past FDA headquarters, which isn't very far from here, and You know, a lot of overfed bureaucrats there. I hate to think of them dictating what I eat.
Well, I know that I'm stocking up on salted glasses for my margaritas. That's the best I can do. And anticipation of it all. Who knows? It may be. We'll just have to wait for wintertime and go out on these salted streets and get some contraband. See how that rolls. Jim, always a pleasure having you on. Thanks a lot for the piece. Thanks a lot for the chat. Good seeing you down in Columbus at the Libertarian Fay Dodo, and we'll chat soon.
Hey, thanks so much, Brian.
Always a pleasure, Jim. Jim Bovard. Lethal Hypocrisy is the name of the article. If you want to take a look at it, and Counterpunch, and of course, Attention Deficit Democracy is always a great read. If you did not win one on the famous quote game, buy it.